morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up at 11, Film Week and the long-awaited release of Quentin Tarantino's new movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I can't wait to hear what our critics think about it. Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie star. But first, during special counsel Robert Mueller's testimony before two House committees on Wednesday, he issued this warning.
In your investigation, did you think that this was a single attempt by the Russians to get involved in our election, or did you find evidence to suggest they'll try to do this again?
No, it wasn't a single attempt. They're doing it as we sit here, and they expect to do it during the next campaign.
Later in the afternoon, Mueller went on to say multiple countries are attempting to influence American voters and affect U.S. elections. Yesterday, the Senate Intelligence Committee released a report largely concluding the same. Well, where do we stand in California? To find out, we asked Secretary of State Alex Padilla to join us. Mr. Padilla, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Larry. Good to be back.
So let's start. First of all, these are things I know you're very well aware of, but anything particular in what Mr. Mueller said or the way he said it that picked up your attention perhaps differently?
Honestly, Larry, nothing new from what Special Counsel Mueller said or presented to Congress that was news to me or news to us. What continues to be shocking is the lack of response on behalf of specifically the U.S. Senate and the Trump administration. You know, these warnings are not new. The warnings we hear every couple of weeks, whether it's from Special Counsel Mueller, the Director of National Intelligence, and other intelligence officials. Yet, consider this, Larry, Congress did more in response to hanging chads in Florida from an investment in election standpoint than we've done in response to the threats and efforts on behalf of the Putin administration.
Well, Senate Republicans say that there were previous money that was allocated to allow states to update their election systems that realistically at this point, if they haven't already replaced their electronic systems that don't have a paper trail, they're not going to be able to do it in time for next year's election. So they've described this as being largely sort of a Democratic stunt as opposed to something that would make a real difference. Your response?
Well, that's not entirely true. Yes, Congress appropriated $380 million nationwide last year for upgrades or improvements to election systems and whatnot. But the reality is that was the final butterfly ballot hanging chad money that was approved 17 years ago. That was not new money and certainly never intended to meet our cybersecurity 2020 needs. So we do need new additional and ongoing sustained investments in our elections infrastructure. You know, just a couple of years ago, the Department of Homeland Security designated our elections infrastructure as critical infrastructure, putting it on par with, you know, utilities, our banking networks, communication systems, etc., because it is a matter of national security that we maintain, you know, free and fair elections. But Congress certainly hasn't appropriated accordingly. And I can tell you, as California Secretary of State, and I convene regularly with my colleagues across the country, it is not too late to invest and improve security for the 2020 elections. And it's not just the machines we're talking about. We need to constantly be investing in monitoring equipment, cybersecurity training for staff at a state and at a local level. These are ongoing needs that deserve ongoing support.
In California, has the state allocated the funds for your office to be able to do the kind of training and the kind of monitoring of equipment you're talking about?
Yes, and appreciate you helping me remind your listeners of that. So California's share of the $380 million last year of federal funds is certainly being put to good use, but knowing that is not nearly enough. Both the legislature, Governor Brown previously, and now Governor Newsom more significantly, have collectively approved more than $180 million of state funding for upgrading or replacing voting systems in California, along with that cybersecurity training that I've mentioned. Given those resources on the table, I took the step as secretary to decertify some of the older failing equipment that was still being utilized in California elections. And now every county is on track to have newer voting systems that have been tested and certified to higher security standards in place for the 2020 election. So, you know, taking nothing for granted, but I feel like we're in pretty good shape in California. I just honestly wish that was the case for the rest of the country.
Does that mean, Mr. Padilla, that everywhere in California there will be a paper trail at the polling location, and if any results are called into question, that your office or the county registrar's offices will be able to go back and to physically count those votes?
Yes, there's been some good policies that have benefited California for many years now, including the paper ballot requirement. Everywhere in California, there's a paper ballot and what we refer to as a voter verified paper trail that we use not just for counting, but for recounting if necessary. And in addition, every county is required to conduct a post-election audit after every election. So between the testing and certification of our equipment on the front end, ongoing logic and accuracy testing to make sure it's functioning as intended, paper ballots, post-election audits, and something that's important to remind voters, all of our voting systems are prohibited from being connected to the internet in California. So we make it impossible to systematically hack or rig an election. Taken together, this framework of policies have gone a long way in making California sort of the gold standard for election security in the nation.
We're talking with California Secretary of State Alex Padilla, this in the wake of yesterday's Senate Intelligence Committee report looking at the vulnerability of the U.S. election system, also about efforts of foreign governments to influence American opinions. We're, of course, well acquainted with Russian efforts to do that. The Mueller report, just one of the attempts to quantify and identify that. But, of course, other efforts, individuals acting on behalf of the Chinese government, of the Iranian government, and the North Korean government, these as well. Secretary Padilla, did I miss any countries that we know have operatives attempting to influence?
Look, there's a constantly increasing number of adversaries, foreign and domestic, but especially foreign, that continue their efforts. And frankly, that's due to two individuals. Lack of sufficient response or accountability by Trump against the Russians has sent the signal to others who seek to undermine our democracy that they can go ahead and try and there will be no consequences. That is a failure of leadership and a dereliction of duty, in my opinion. The other guilty party is Mitch McConnell. There haven't just been Democratic events in, attempts in Congress. There's been bipartisan efforts, specifically in the United States Senate, to invest more in election security, to set higher, better security standards, all of them squashed by Majority Leader McConnell in the Senate. Again, a failure of leadership, dereliction of duty. We have no choice but to constantly be working together and better and invest in our elections. But we'll do what it takes to get through 2020, but we need Congress to get off the dime.
You're laying this at President Trump's feet, but these efforts from Russia began before he was even running for president. This happened during President Obama's term in office. So what is it that realistically a president can and should be expected to do? And how would you see that having a practical effect on Russia or any other government's efforts to intervene?
Yeah, look, Two quick items in response, because we can do a whole another segment, a whole another day on this. Yes, the efforts did begin under the Obama administration. The Obama administration brought it to light. It was in August of 2016, I first got a phone call from the Department of Homeland Security about what they were observing in the election space. It was the final days of the Obama administration when elections infrastructure was designated critical infrastructure. That laid the foundation for the new federal, state, partnerships that we're benefiting from today. What the Trump administration can begin with is not just acknowledging what happened in the 2016 cycle, but for the current occupant of the White House to stop undermining our national intelligence community. They are unanimous in their findings, yet Trump continues to acknowledge it, let alone act to hold Putin accountable.
Also wanted to ask you about the voter database in California. We know that the Florida voter database was compromised, was hacked. It's not believed that this changed any results in the election. You mentioned that the voting machines are not internet connected, but the voter database could potentially be accessed on the outside. What security do you have in place to keep that from happening, and alarms that would alert people in your office if it is compromised?
Another great question there. You've done your homework. So an important distinction, we do allow for online voter registration in California. So there's an online functionality there. But that's frankly separate and apart from the actual registration database. And to the extent that the registration tool interfaces with the database, trust me, several layers of security in between, state-of-the-art firewalls, etc., and what is considered a smart best practice from a security standpoint, our registration database is backed up on a daily basis. So should something happen, our worst case scenario is going back to 11:59 the evening before and recreating just a single day's of voter registration activity. We're also bringing a new tool to the voters in California. Anybody who needs to register or update their registration for the first time can do so easily at registertovote.ca.gov. But currently, registered voters can verify their registration status at voterstatus.sos.ca.gov. If any of the information they see there is not up to date or accurate, they can quickly update that or correct it. And the new tool being starting next year, any changes to a voter registration record will trigger an alert to that voter, similar to notifications from your bank or what have you. When you've updated your registration, you'll get a confirmation. If you get such an email that your registration has been updated and that was not you, that's good for you to know. So you can contact your county or our office to rectify it.
Thank you so much, Secretary of State Alex Padilla. We appreciate your talking with us about what's happening in your office in preparation for next year's presidential election. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Alex Padilla, California Secretary of State. Coming up on Air Talk, the end of an era, and that is a change in ownership of the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. We'll talk about the history of that company, the coffee wars generally at the retail level, and how coffee is evolving as a business. We'll also ask you to weigh in on what makes you loyal to a particular coffee store. Is it the people that work there? Is it simply a matter of convenient location? Are there certain aspects to the stores aesthetically or the types of coffee beans that they offer that make it most attractive? 866-893-KPECC. We'll be back with more of Air Talk in just 1 minute.